Welcome to E Society Podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Azisu back again, E-Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. And this is another special edition. But before I go any further, it's the Nez!
Yo, yo, what's up, everybody? We're back. Part three. Of Azisu's 90s hip-hop study group.
That's right.
You guys heard the first 20 and the first two parts of this series. So we are finally here for the final 10 to finish it all. So, all right, microphone check, 1, 2, hit it.
Yeah. I'll save the rundown of what came previously for the end since we have 20. But here we are on the final 10 and going to kick it off with one that is an interesting memory for me because this album came out the year I graduated from high school, and I moved on my own from the Reno Sparks area down to join my friend in Arizona, and outside Phoenix, Mesa, Arizona is where we were living. And he was a big Wu fan, a big hip-hop traditionalist, very about the ones and the twos and the rhymes, and obviously, yeah, really. So like when this came out, he actually couldn't stand this album. I could appreciate it for what it was, but he less so. So without further ado, my number 10 track in my top 30 hip-hop singles of the 90s is from the Missy Elliott debut album, Super Duper Fly. And this was the kickoff single, The Rain, Super Duper Fly. It's track 4 on the album. Obviously, we got the beat by Timbaland on this. And they had that whole crew, Timbaland, Magoo, Genuine, Aaliyah, that kind of 90s crew that did a lot of work together. But this was Missy's first album, and I think one of the most memorable things from this too was the video she did, and had that famous Hype Williams the fish eye lens that made things look kind of rounded and distorted, and she wore a lot of interestingly odd outfits. Big trash bag almost looking outfit in the video. But it's I appreciate this song for what it is, and it's like it's got a great beat, and the rhymes are actually even kind of simple, but it's just like cool, and I liked it. And I mean to bring that up just because to give you the opposite view, my friend, it drove him absolutely nuts, the part of the song. I think it's the third verse. She says, I feel the wind, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And that absolutely made him like furious as this person that was, like I said, considered lyricism, you know, on such a high level. But it never dissuaded my love for the song, and kind of always been there for me. So, yeah, I don't know if you have any thoughts on The Rain, Super Duper Fly.
I remember the video because I'm watching it right now, but I don't remember this song.
Yeah.
I think I only watched the video because I was like, whoa, what's this? I mean, I like Missy Elliott. She's pretty fresh. But it was the clothes, the big trash bag looking black, whatever the hell she was wearing.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Like I said, I loved it. But yeah, interestingly, at the time, like I lived with somebody who, yeah, just could not stand it. And it was funny too, because then we'd have like other friends over and they'd be like, yeah, that Missy Elliott. roll his eyes. Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
These are like those $1 million videos too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the director Hype Williams. Yeah, he did like the Puff videos, the Notorious videos back then. Obviously, yeah, this is one of his standout ones. He did the Busta Rhymes video. He did a lot. He did the Nas from the second album, the one with Lauryn Hill, that track, that video. And they all have that like fisheye lens angle, which made like everything look distorted. So, but yeah, like I said, holds a special place in my heart. So,
yeah, the video's crazy. I like Hype Williams. He also directed Belly. We were talking about that in the last episode.
Right, that's right.
But yeah, I can Missy Elliott. I couldn't tell you a favorite album of hers because I usually just hear tracks. Is that the Brat? Yes, it is.
The Talk It To Me.
No, I don't know. She's in a video.
Oh, in, yeah, well, because she's on a track on the album.
Soccer they team. Show her real, dancing around looking stupid, and Puff, of course, Mace, Yo-Yo, and yeah. I don't know who these, I assume this is other singers, I don't know who they are, but
yeah.
Listening to the track without watching the video, I mean, it's cool, it's nothing busy, the beat's yeah. simple, I love the background stuff that they have that you can hear. But yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, and I figure I might as well mention it now. I was going to mention it at the end, but it almost feels crazy to me. And when I was putting this list together, I was like, I got to have him on this. But then I found more worthy track after more worthy track. But also at the time, I was a huge Puff Daddy and Mace fan. And for that reason, I thought about putting, you know... Notorious track on Mo Money Mo Problems, but I didn't go with that track, and I didn't even end up going with any Puff or Mace at all, which is crazy considering how much I listened to it back then. But just putting this list together, like the more worthy track after more worthy track came, and like I said, as we keep going, I keep finding, and at this point I can't really cut any. There's no more left to cut. That happened in the 20 to 30 range, but anyways, yeah, so number 9 or number 10 rather, sorry, Missy Elliott, The Rain, Super Duper Fly, which brings me to number 9 in another group that felt like I just couldn't you know, out of respect for them, leave them out of this countdown. One of your favorites, so I know you'll have something to say. So I went to their 1998 album, The Beastie Boys, Hello Nasty, and the debut track Intergalactic. And why I'm going with this track is also a lot of love for the video. And I remember when this came out, and it was such a big deal, and I remember talking about it with friends so much, and it just brought up the love for the Beasties and their history and whatnot. And it, interestingly, especially like I said, for that age that I was just coming out of high school, like it was interesting, like it just the like the vibe, like it had, like it was the perfect age for that. But I don't know if Intergalactic is my favorite song they've ever done, but like I said, total package-wise, and for like the influence it's had since in the movies and TVs that it's been used in since, yeah, I would say. And yeah, it's just like, it, for me, it always just goes back to like, I just, that's like a video you can't like get out of your head, so yeah.
Yeah, my love for kaiju monsters and all kinds of stuff, Japan, because that's where they filmed this video.
Right.
And having the popping and locking robot that they had.
Right.
But Beasties, man, everything, my opinion, everything they did was fresh. I mean, they started out young and partying and women, but then as they got older, the rhymes changed. It got more into
lyricism,
some political stuff, more of just having good times and everything.
All but, you I mean, Trekkies and TV addicts.
Everybody, as you get older, whatever, if you start in your music career, it you start to get a brain. Realize everybody doesn't want what I wanted in the beginning.
Right.
But these guys, man, it was like they changed each album, and it was good. I mean, you go back to that first album, and it was a punk rock album.
Right.
Before all the rhyming and stealing with the License to Ill. But Beasties, they've always been a big part of my teen years. I was glad they continued into the 90s and 2000s. I took my oldest son, Mark, to his first concert because he loved the Beastie Boys, thanks to me. And we went to San Francisco and saw him at the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium. And when they did this song, it was during the Five Boroughs tour. They kind of paused, the place went black. You see them run off the stage. Mixmaster Mike was up there doing something. Then this kicked in.
Intergalactic.
That started, and everybody went, ah! Then these spotlights came on. We were up in the balcony area. And off to the right of us, there they were. They were up. They had this little stage platform, and they were up there. They performed this whole song up there, and we were ah! And then when the song was over, they ran back and got on the stage. So, but it was an awesome show.
I bet, especially like when it kicks in. Well, now don't you tell me style.
Yeah, man, this song's bad. I remember hearing the track first, then the video came out.
Right.
So I was like, wow. And like I said, my love for all this type of stuff, giant monsters and robots and everything. Beasties, giant robots, monsters, my childhood. Yeah, this just hit the right spot for me when I first heard it and when I first seen the video.
Right. Yeah, so that is coming at number 9 for me. Beastie Boys with Intergalactic, which brings me to my number 8 track, another all-time legendary videos, a legendary solo debut. This artist was on the scene before, Tribe Called Quest, a track with Biggie and Craig Mack, TLC, Mary J. Blige, but this was his solo debut. And this is Busta Rhymes off The Coming, and Woo-Ha got you all in check. And yeah, like I said, this came out in 96, so I'm still in high school at this point. And yeah, hugely influential to me at that point, fashion and style was like big. And I think I might have told this story before, how I had this group of friends and we were all into, you know, hip hop and stuff like that, but also these clothes and fashion. And we'd run this trick of we'd get something like a big time like outfit, like a shirt or a jacket from Macy's at the mall there, Meadowood, still around today in the Reno area. And then like everybody would wear it, and then one different person would like take the receipt and return it and get something else. So back then when this came out, I got one of the big puffy down jackets, yellow puffy down jackets, and rolling with that. And people would flat out, oh yeah, Busta Rhymes, got you all in check. And yeah, so obviously that's always been a memory for that. And was a big Busta Rhymes fan all through the 90s, and you know, as his career continued, but especially obviously with this debut album. And I know one of your favorite tracks, Everything Remains Raw, that was the second track on the CD single. I've talked about that a lot during these pods, the idea of singles and CD singles. And I remember like it was such like a great like 1-2 punch, because you had the kind of poppy, almost silliness of Woo-ha got you all in check. And then you got like the raw, like the real lyricism and hard beat of Everything Remains Raw. But yeah, just for everything that it was and what that like, yeah, Woo-ha got you all in check. Coming in at my number 8 spot, Busta Rhymes.
I had the cassette single, and yeah, that Woo-ha, or I Make Sure Everything Remains Raw. That was on the B-side. Right. That starts the video out, too, so that's even fresher.
Yep, but it does.
This video is crazy. I was never into this 90s style stuff. It was just, I was like, I bought my shit from Walmart and all that. I don't...
Especially I was never... based off of like what we were talking about on New Jack Swing. We go from New Jack Swing to all this 90s hip hop we're talking about. That's like the definition of my style, and I get nostalgic for it all the time, and I especially want to go back and get my eBay. I want to get my Tommy Hill. I brought this up on the pod before. Tommy Hill overalls from the 90s, especially that like TLC and Aaliyah wore. But everybody wore them back then, and I had them. I had not only the jean ones, but I worked at Target when I was in high school, and I had the denim ones, or not the denim, the khaki ones also, because at Target you used to have to wear khaki and red. It's changed now these days, but I got away with wearing these really cool. I have a picture of it too. I'm glad I still have the picture of these. I have to send you a shot of it, my khaki Tommy Hill overalls. But yeah, I want the jean ones, but every time I check, like, you're not getting them for like under $100 these days on eBay.
Yeah, the way I dress now is how I dressed in the 80s. So, that was my style. I didn't have time for all the fancy stuff, man, because I was just dirtbag skater, man. I didn't. Dressing up is not for me. I mean, I tell my kids now, when it's time for me to lay in a box, don't put me in a suit. Don't put me anything with collars.
Put me in my Tommy Hill overalls.
I said, I don't wear any of that shit. Just make sure I got my Vans on, my shorts, and a t-shirt. I just don't wear that shit. I think the last time I wore something, when I had to wear a tuxedo when Mike got married. I was in the wedding party, so I had to wear that. And the time before, when I got married, I actually wore the little suit when I got married to when I interviewed for Southwest. That same thing I wore for the interview, I had to wear that tie jacket just to look the part. Got the job, and a month or two later, I got married in that same thing again. We did a city hall thing, but yeah, I just don't. That's not me, everyone. I don't wear that stuff. But Busta Rhymes, Woo-ha, yeah, this song. The first time I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah. I saw him live a couple times. And it was when this album was out. And when this song came on, everybody, whoa, the whole crowd, hands in the air. Everybody was just dancing hella hard. Oh, man. I mean, even now, I was just listening to it while we were talking about it. Man, I'm just head nodding everything. Oh, man, I love that song. Busta Rhymes is just fresh. Do I like everything he puts out? No, but this song it was just right there at the right time in the 90s, and I just thought it was badass. That whole album was badass. Yeah, but yeah, because a lot of my friends that listen to him now, their first introduction to him was Scenario with Tribe Called Quest, and I was like, where you guys been? I was Leaders of the New School guy, so I remember all of that. So, but. Yeah, it's whoa, what's happening here?
Okay, so I'll send you some of my 90s style, my 90s pictures. You can see in the one I'm working at Target, you can see my baggy red t-shirt. I got my Oakley's super 90s right there on my head, and then yeah, the khaki overalls, the Tommy Hill overalls, and the bottom shot you can see, that's my classic Woo style. That's the black and white camo. I got the shirt, the jeans, and you could see that's how I was used to do my pants too, like rolled up like that. Like you use a like a wristband, like an armband to hold up your pants right at ankle length.
And your Nelly headband.
Right. Nike but headband. I did it before Nelly. Nelly's not till 2000. This is mid 90s right here.
Yeah, everyone. Well, you have to take some really, really good shots of it. Or is this this it? Is this out of a photo album?
It's out of a photo album, yeah.
All right. We'll have to take some clearer shots so we can...
Yeah.
You guys can all see it.
Yep. Bringing back my 90s style.
Bring a nice 90s fit when we go to Comic-Con, so...
Right? Yeah. Part of me, I really do kind of want to get the Tommy Hill overalls and then, yeah, bring back my wristbands and wrist them right at the ankle. Bring it back. But, yeah, we'll see. Anyways, so, yeah, that was number 8, Busta Rhymes. Woo-ha! Got you all in check. Which brings me to number 7 and a song that I really respect deeply. I mentioned multiple times now on this countdown how much I used to read Vibe magazine, Source magazine. And if you read Source magazine in the 90s, you might be familiar with a section they had in it called Hip Hop Quotable, which took like the best lyricism of the month or that they've been waiting to share, and they just printed out, and it was like basically just the lyrics, but it was a hip hop quotable. And in this track, they actually dropped the line, "Man, every word I say should be a hip hop quotable." And just for doing that, like that verse was actually in Source magazine, it made it as the hip hop quotable that month. Anyways, number 7 is De La Soul with "Stakes Is High," and yeah, this is a later album from De La Soul. They already had stuff out, but this is their 96 album, and also titled "Stakes Is High," and yeah, like just great lyricism, and it was kind of like a palate cleanser for like we started to get really into in the hip-hop of especially of that mid-90s. We started to get into a lot of the Puff and the Big stuff was a lot of diamonds and jewels and clothes and cars, and this was kind of De La Soul wanted to like bring it back to the roots, to the lyricism, to what it really meant, you know. And there's like another line in the song, like, "I'm sick of Versace glasses." It's funny too, because I was just talking about my hip hop clothes, but "I'm sick of name brand clothes."
Sick of that's me. So I didn't wear that
R&B B's over BS tracks. So
see, I'm watching the video, and this is the style. I mean, in the 90s, I was big T-shirts, big baggy pants, and my Vans. I didn't wear Tim's and all that other stuff. I didn't. I was a skater, like I said, and I can't skate in those. You can skate in them, but I'm not paying $1 million to tear up some nice shoes, so I just stuck with the Vans. But I liked their style, their clothing style. I thought it was cool. T-shirts, jeans, get up there and do what you gotta do. But De La Soul in a whole was just fresh style, just music, everything about them was just awesome, and it was just straight East Coast New York, and it was amazing. I love it. Are they still out there?
I think sadly one of the members has recently passed away, so.
Let me see. Looks like they're still touring.
17, track 17 on the 1996 album Stakes Is High. You know them Stakes Is High?
March 3rd, Rough Trade, New York City, Rockefeller Plaza, De La Soul. They're still performing. That's when was that, next week? Yeah. Next week. If you guys, any of you guys in the NYC, go check out De La Soul. So, but I don't, one of them did pass? Which one?
Pretty sure.
Let me see.
Pretty sure I remember that.
Let me see. I don't remember hearing about any of them that passed. Okay. Looks like there's only two of them in the group right now.
Yeah, and there was a trio.
Kelvin Mercer.
Three is the magic number. You know that Peace. Track, and they used it for Spider-Man.
He's... Kelvin Mercer's, he's looks like he's still alive. The DJ, he's still alive. Must have been the other guy. The second MC.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that must have passed away. Shit, this is news to me. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, sadly.
All right. Yeah, I don't remember any of this. Let me see. David. Yeah, he passed last year, February 12th.
Right.
Age of 54. Damn. All right. I didn't know that.
Yep.
He was like my favorite one out of the two MCs. Weak.
Oh, keep it rolling. Keep it rolling.
All right. Did it say what he passed from in his last years of his life? He was diagnosed with a congestive heart failure and had to wear a life vest defibrillator machine in order to counteract his symptoms. Oh man, he had to wear one of those. That was like Bray Wyatt. He had to wear one of those too, and he passed away last year. And they were saying that he didn't have it on. It was in his car. I guess he's supposed to be wearing it all the time. He laid down to take a nap, and his fiance or his wife went in there and tried to wake him up. So he was asleep. She heard his alarm going off, so she went in to go check on him, and he passed when he was sleeping. But this guy.
Yeah,
David. He revealed his health issues publicly in the first time in November of 2017. February 3rd, De La Soul took part in a special performance for the 50 years of hip hop at the 65th annual Grammy Awards, performing the 1988 song "Buddy." However, Joycer is not on stage with his group mates. Yeah, some kind of heart failure, but
badness.
I'm sure they still represent for him, like
I'm sure
Tribe did when they performed with Five Dog. They played his parts, like everyone else, Q and the rest of them. They were out there doing their thing, but when it came to Five Dog's parts, the audio kicked in and everybody. I remember Busta Rhymes was on stage. Everybody was pointing up and everything, so that was really cool.
Yeah.
The crowd as well, so, but I'm sure De La Soul, they represent for him still, and right. I'm sure they probably do the same thing, but, oh, man, that's news to me. I didn't know that.
Yeah, sadness. But, yeah, that De La Soul, Stakes Is High, my number 7 track, which brings us to...
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
I'm watching. They're doing Stakes Is High on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And Black Thought is doing Dave's parts.
Okay.
And the Roots are, see, that's how fresh the Roots are. We already talked about them. They're backing them up. DJ's right. On stage. The whole Roots crew is up there. And Black Thought, he's doing Dave's parts. Oh, man. This is the way to see De La Soul with the Roots backing right. him up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go back and watch this whole video. But, yeah, it's for cool. Sure.
Yeah. Still, great track, too. We're still doing great it. Lyrics.
Oh, Snoop did a De La Soul song? What's this? Snoop Dogg and De La Soul. Oh, this, I never heard this. Have you heard this one? Called Pain?
No.
It's a Snoop Dogg song, but De La Soul's on it with him.
Is it Snoop Lion?
No. I don't want to get into any of that, everyone. I mean, you do what you want, man. When you're at Snoop level, you could do whatever you want. And nah, I was not a fan of any of that.
Right.
All right, continue.
Yeah. Rolling on to number six spot. And I mentioned on part two how we were talking about albums you could listen from start to finish. And I did mention Outkast's Stank on Ya. But honestly, probably on that list, the previous album, Aquemini, from 1998 is probably a start to finish listen also. And had to pick, obviously, an Outkast track, had to make my list. So yeah, coming in here at number six is Outkast off of Aquemini, and this is the third track, Rosa Parks. Love the way it's so upbeat and moving. And it moves right along with the lyrics that they're dropping. And then even late, how it has the almost kind of a break, like the boogie down break in it, which mixes, just so well. So, yeah, had to have an Outkast track on here. I debated long and hard between ATLians from the ATLians album, or maybe even Wheels of Steel from that album. But in the end, I think Rosa Parks hits it everything you could want from an Outkast track, the perfect Outkast track. So, yeah, Rosa Parks.
I like early Outkast. Once it get towards the later years, I was kind of here. I mean, Andre 3000 he was getting out there. So, and I listened to some of that. We were talking about his new stuff and
the flute.
All right, whatever. I mean, he's at that level. I could do what I want. I'm Andre Ice Cold 3000. So, but. I'm watching their performance on Live at the Apollo, and they're doing Rosa Parks. Of Rosa Parks? Yeah. And everybody's moving.
Uh-huh.
Andre, he's got that crazy style. He's wearing a mailman hat and it's crazy stuff. But Andre, I mean, both of them, they got good style, good flow. The music was always good. I remember when they first started with their stuff, and I always liked it because I always go by if I can understand you and everything. So, I mean, people may say, what about 40? It was hard to understand him. It was hard to understand him and Busta as well as he rolled into the 90s. But it was still good, though. The music was good and everything. But these mumble guys now, I can't understand one word they say. But. Outkast, Rosa Parks, this is an awesome track. Definitely check it out if you guys haven't heard it.
Yep, highly recommended. What was I going to say? Guess ready to move on. So yeah, that was Outcast at number 6 with Rosa Parks, which brings us to the number 5 spot, final 5. And one of my personal favorites. I feel like this one goes under the radar for some people, but I'm always pleasantly surprised how many people actually do know and remember and love this song and how much it's actually does get play, because I remember saying at one point, I was like, I'm probably the only person in the world listening to this song right now. But no, I mean, it's definitely got some love. And this is the not well-known group Camp Low from their 1997 album Uptown Saturday Night, and the number 2 track, Lucchini. This is it. Always one of my favorites. Nice little low budget video where they're kind of doing almost a Pulp Fiction style heist. But yeah, like I said, longtime favorite that without a doubt, if you're having me put together a list of hip hop singles, like, yeah, this has its spot in its top 5. It's one of my go-to tracks. I love this track so much and always have. And, yeah, that's Camp Low with Lucchini. This is it.
I haven't heard this song in hell long. Right. Watching the video, like, President Bank Robbers, like Point Break.
Yep. And there's like Pulp Fiction vibes too. They're like in the restaurant.
Yeah, the guys are rhyming in some little diner. Music, awesome. Flow, style, awesome. And you can understand them. So, but are these guys still around? I have not seriously listened to them. Probably in the 90s was the last time.
I actually did look them up recently, and they did another album as recently as 2020. They dropped the album Another Heist, and it has that classic retro 70s look that they love. They're still rolling with that. So I remember actually listening to some of it, and I liked what I heard from that. But I don't know if they're still out there right now, because now it's 2024. But yeah, like I said, they had an album. And this is like more like, see what I expected. They'd had a 97 album, Uptown Saturday Night. Then they had a 2015 album, so it was like a really long time. And then, yeah, the 2020 album. In between, they had a mixtape, Candyland Express, the mixtape. But that's what you more expect from these artists. But it's interesting, like I said, looking at E40's selection, how it was like every couple of years, sometimes twice a year, he was dropping an album.
I think this is, I'm on their website, and I don't think they must still be doing something if they got a website and everything. I mean, they got Instagram, and they've only got 17 posts, but I don't know. They might not be, or maybe they just get together every now and then to do it, but as far as this song, I mean, it's awesome. Especially, yep. Check out the video as well, everyone. The video is highly recommended. Good. Yeah.
Yep. It's cool. You can tell it's like a little low budget video, but still hella cool.
Yep. Check out Camp Low. These guys are pretty
Lucchini, which was number 5 in my countdown, which brings me to 4, the final 4. Heavy hitters, and doesn't get much bigger than this. It's the Notorious B.I.G. from Ready to Die. And I'm going with Juicy, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. yeah, I mean, obviously love the whole album. Could have gone with almost any track, but got to go with Juicy just for the video and the lyrics and just the long longevity of it.
It was all a dream.
Used to read Word Up magazine.
I didn't care for the music in the background because I didn't really care for that song when it came out.
Juicy Fruit.
Yeah, I didn't. It was just, it was okay. But B.I.G. being on top of that, I was like, all right, cool. Because I remember the first time Renee heard this song, she was like, who is this? And why is he using that song? I said, it's hip hop. Everybody uses everybody's songs. So, but this is a good song. I mean, I like it. I mean, B.I.G. is just fresh, period. Rest in peace. And yeah, this is what I'm. Puff, take him or leave him. I can give it to him for what he's done for hip hop and everything. But
yeah, shout out to Puff. I don't have him, like I said, on solo stuff on this list, but he was real important to me. So, you know, like I said, his influence is on these tracks that I've mentioned. So.
He didn't need to be in every song, be all up in the videos. For those of you, if you guys remember Suge Knight's speech.
Come to Death Row.
Death Row was good in the beginning, and then everybody left and it fell apart. But this was a good song. I liked it. It was good, B.I.G. Because I don't know how true it was in the movie when Puff brought this to him. And he goes, I want you to rap over this. And he was like, what?
No. Yeah.
And then he did it, and it turned into a big hit. So.
Right.
But, yeah.
Which makes sense because Big was more about the grimy stuff. He wanted, you know, like, the harder, tougher stuff, which, you know, a lot of people, you know, love and they respect of it. But it's interesting, like, him teaming up with Puff, he was able to reach, like, a wider audience with these more accessible tracks like Juicy and One More Chance and Hypnotize and More Money, More Problems. I don't know if you could still ask B.I.G. if those are his favorite tracks. He probably would say no, but they were able to reach his music to a wider audience.
I like the first line in this song.
It was all a dream.
No, that's not the first line. Right when the song starts. You know it.
It's not going to mine right now, I guess.
F all you hoes.
Oh, get a grip.
Yeah, the very beginning. Because I remember the first time I heard that song, I was like, wait, what are you saying? My buddy had to rewind it. I was like, yeah. And then the music kicks in. But yeah, this track is good. So. And if you don't know, now you know. I won't continue it. But this is a good song. It was in a... Oh, I don't know if you guys have seen that video of that little white kid rapping along to the song. Have you seen that video?
I haven't.
Somebody was... let me see. Let me see if I can find it for you. It was just some little kid. All right. Is this it? Yeah. Here, I'll send it to you really quick. Well, you won't be able to watch it. Anyway, Alex. All right. it must have been some little karaoke thing at some outdoor little cafe or whatever. And this little white kid just. Little Sherman-looking kid with glasses, and he's rapping along to Juicy. But when he gets and you don't know, now you know. When Puppy. when it gets to the N word, he like screamed it hella loud.
What? Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah, look up that. I'll send it to you later to watch. It's only like a few seconds.
Yeah, when I played this song for Jade growing up, I. said that, which I know obviously is really silly, but, you know, to make it more friendly for her ears. If you don't know, now you know, puppy.
Oh, no, that was a Kanye song in Blackish, the Gold Digger.
Right.
When him and his son were singing that song, and then he sang that in the talent show at school. And when he got to the hook, and he said the N-word with an A, not the E-R. His little sister was in the crowd going, I begged him to go with the radio edit. Yeah, but Juicy, awesome, awesome song. Rest in peace, B.I.G.
Shout out. All right, yeah, that was number 4, Notorious B.I.G. with Juicy, which brings me to number 3, and we're headed for the last time back to the 36 Chambers. Enter the Wu-Tang Clan. Wu-Tang Clan's debut album, 1993, biggest year in hip-hop history. Could have gone with any track. This is also a top-to-bottom album. Clan featured all over the place. Most people would go with Cream, Cash Rules Everything Around Me. But I'm going with track 6, The Mystery of Chess Boxing. Always love this track. Such a great beat. And obviously the lyrics over it, so good, top to bottom. Wu-Tang again? Oh man, again and again.
Sorry, I'm trying to answer Renee. What was the song?
Mystery of Chess Boxing.
I remember the title. I need to hear it, and I don't remember it offhand.
Yeah, oh, like I said.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Great video lined up with the chessboard. I think this is early enough in the Clan's era where Ghostface really was trying to do that thing of he was going to always remain Mask. He was always going to remain the Ghostface killer. Didn't last very long. He got out from under it. Compared to like MF Doom, who is being an artist I would definitely feature in the next era, the 2000s era, for sure. So if we ever do that list, you can count on that. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to go wrong with picking any track from 36 Chambers, such a classic album. But yeah, for me, the track has always been Mystery of Chess Boxing.
Yeah, this song's tough. Raw, I'm going to give it to you. I remember the first time I heard this song, or this whole album. I mean, Protect Your Neck, yeah, it kind of stuck out to me the most. But when this one comes on, it's just got that hard-ass raw beat. Especially early Wu, man. I mean, there wasn't a bunch of stuff piled on top of everything. But it was just steady beat, little samples in the background here and there. But the lyrics came hard. Every Wu song, especially on this first album, just came hella hard. And man, yeah, listening, I'm watching the video. The video is cool, but it's the edited version. So listen to the album version.
The other reason too why this is such a highlight is lots of other tracks on the album, you only get a couple of Clan members. This is such a great showcase of the Clan because you've got Meth, you've got Dirty, you've got Ghostface, you got Raekwon, You God, and Inspector Deck, and Master Killa all on this track. So you put RZA was behind the beat, you've got pretty much like entire representation of the Wu on this track. So always loved it for that.
Did you ever see the Tiny Desk concert they did?
No, but I bet it was good because those are always good.
NPR, yeah. Got them all in there and ODB's son doing all his parts.
Awesome.
It's cool. It got the band and everything in there. But yeah,
I want to watch it.
Yeah, it's only like 20 minutes. Those little concerts they do. I'm trying to see if they did this song. I'm just kind of.
I would imagine so, just because, like I said, it's so representative of the clan. There's so many people that feature on it. It's like the one of the best representations of the clan because you get so many parts from so many of the members.
I don't see. There isn't a track listing on what they did on the song, and I don't hear it. I'm just skimming the video, everyone, the live performance they did. So I'm not really sure what they did. Okay, they do Cream. That's towards the end. Meth isn't there, so it's not all.
Sadness.
So, but, yeah,
you
check
would
it
think
out.
Too, Mr. Meth, usually you can count on him.
But he should be there, but who knows? Maybe he was.
Did you see him on Impractical Jokers?
Is it new?
No.
I might have. I don't remember. But
it was after. It's new, but it's not new. New. Like it was after Joe left, and they did special guests. Meth was one of them.
All right, I found the video. I'll have to watch it because Sal and Q, shout out to them. They're from Shaolin, so yeah,
yep.
they're huge Wu-Tang fans.
There was one time too when, and yeah, Meth wasn't even there, but and this is back when Joe was still on it, and Q was out there, and you know they have to repeat what they're gonna say, and Joe jumped on the mic for Q to repeat what he says, and Method Man's a bitch. and Q wouldn't say it. He took the loss. He wouldn't say, even though like Meth wasn't there. He's like, no, I can't say that.
All right, I found the clip. I'm gonna have to go back. I didn't see this one. I'm gonna have to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're gonna be. They weren't at Comic-Con last year, so I wonder.
I hope they are.
That'd I wonder awesome. If they're gonna bring it back. I mean, shout out to Q. He's the one that hooked us up. All the times we saw him down in San Diego. I don't know what that theater was. That the first time you saw him.
Right.
When we went. And then we went to all those other little things they had. But then the last time, or one of the, was it the last time you went when we saw them? By that, it was that outdoor theater?
Yeah, at the Petco.
No.
And we saw Murr at the 7-Eleven. I think
it wasn't that. No, remember they performed their whole show way. It was over by our hotel and we were staying.
Yeah, but I think that was like the year before.
Yeah, I think that was the last time that was the last time you saw.
That was the last show we saw, but we saw them after when they were at Petco.
Yeah, but them and I'm talking about the last.
Yeah, we ran into Old Murr at the
7-Eleven. No, the last time we saw them at Comic-Con, like their full show, was at that
right.
one.
Was at the marina.
It was out there, and
yep.
That was when we met Christine and Tracy and what's her nuts? Sorry, God dang it! Forget the name. That's when we got everybody backstage that night. Because awesome. that guy was like, because there wasn't that many people there for the meet and greet. And the road manager went, is this everyone? He goes, do you know anyone else who wants to come? And that's when I ran and got all the girls. Hey, you guys want to go back there? And they're like, yeah. And that one little cool. moment for them, we had met them all before, but for them, it was their first time. And they were super hyped, Christina and Tracy, that were sitting right in front of us. And still friends with them today. So shout out to both of them.
Shout out.
So yeah, but. Alrighty, continue down.
All right, yep. So yeah, we're leaving the Wu at number 3, Wu-Tang Clan, with the Mystery of Chess Boxing. And here we are at our final two more heavy hitters left. And at number 2, it's Mecca and the Soul Brother, aka Pete Rock and CL Smooth, with TROY. They Reminisce Over You, from the album Mecca and the Soul Brother. It's track 10. And yeah, this is just such a, everything about this track is classic, from the beats to the lyrics. And like I've said for many of these tracks, this is one I've pretty much had in every playlist I've ever made. I just cannot get sick of this track, and it's a forever track for me. So I'll never get sick of it. And yeah, like I said, obviously that's why it's here at the number two spot. And yeah, I mean, I talked how much about how 93 was such a big year. This is even before that. This is 92, early in the 90s. But yeah, it set the stage and never left. And I think it's so important too, because it's like right there, like, for me, like I said, as young as I was and getting into hip hop and UMTV Raps and staying up and trying to record the videos. This is such a memorable one for me, like to be there, sit there waiting in front of the TV with my hand hovering, my finger hovering above the record button, you know, waiting for it. It's just such a memorable track and love it so much. And that's T-R-O-Y, Troy, They Reminisce Over You.
Was not a fan of P-Rock and CL Smooth, but the tracks that I do remember, I don't remember this song. Good style, good beats, and the lyrics as well as the delivery, all smooth. But, I mean, that's pretty much how the 90s were. Yeah, there was some trash MCs or trash rappers in the 90s, but these... I don't think I ever owned any of their tracks, owned any of their albums, but I mean, I can appreciate what they've done for hip hop, but I just didn't really get into them that much.
Right. But yeah, like I said, huge for me, and just the longevity of it. Like I said, it being a 92 track, it's just, like I said, it's longevity. Like it just, I never got tired of hearing it. It was, like I said, always in the mix for me, always an important track. So, yeah, that was number two, Pete Rock and CL Smooth, They Reminisce Over You. Which brings me to the end. Number one, the number one track. It had to be something. And like number two, this also falls right from 1992. And... Don't Sweat the Technique. It's Eric B. and Rakim with Don't Sweat the Technique, track 11. Another, I could say everything I just said about Pete Rock and CL Smooth about this Eric B. and Rakim track. Just absolutely love the beat. Never get tired of it. Goes on. And yeah, it's the fourth and final Eric B. and Rakim album, arrived just 6 years after the duo transformed the sound of hip hop, thanks to Rakim's incomparable rhymes craft and Eric B.'s clattery James Brown loops. With Don't Sweat the Technique, the musicians closed out their game-changing run with jazz samples, head-cracking snares, soulful horns, and manic tempos. While at the absolute peak of his lyrical powers, Rakim explored more socially conscious learnings. So, yeah. And yeah, Don't Sweat the Technique, never get tired of it. Another one of those tracks, every few years you'll see it, and from NBA Street and, NBA, live era to now current NBA 2K. And, you know, when they used to do in the 90s, they do VHS, videotapes for the NBA. And I remember Don't Sweat the Technique was one of the songs used for like basketball highlights. And, you know, that's less of a thing these days. Obviously they still do those for, YouTube and whatnot, but, you could still use, Don't Sweat the Technique as far as, highlight reels go. So yeah, to me, most classic track of the 90s is Eric B. and Rakim's Don't Sweat the Technique.
Yeah, with the little jazz flavor in the background. Yeah, this song. I mean, Eric B., everything Eric B. and Rakim put out was awesome. Be it the hits or even just the B-sides and everything. But, I mean, they had just complete style, complete control of what they were doing in each song. I seen Rakim on his solo stuff, but he did do a lot of Eric B. and Rakim stuff, of course. I mean, pretty much the major hits. He doesn't have to do it, but he does them for us old 80s Eric B. and Rakim. But yeah, man, I mean, Eric B. and Rakim, Don't Sweat the Technique. Exactly. Don't Sweat the Technique, because the technique is fresh. And yeah, I mean, it's just amazing, amazing.
Right. Yep. So good. And yeah, had to have that up top my countdown. So I guess, should we give them a rundown from 30 to 1?
Yep, hit it.
All right, one last time. From the top, number 30 was Naughty by Nature, Feel Me Flow. 29 was Method Man, Bring the Pain. 28 was Loonies, I Got Five on It. 27 was Boogie Monsters, Beginning of the End. 26 was Dell, Catch a Bad One. 25 was GZA, Liquid Swords. 24 was Getting It, Too Short. 23 was Tupac, So Many Tears. 22 was Mobb Deep, Shook Ones Part 2. And 21 was E-40, Sprinkle Me. That was our first 10 that we went through. And then in Part 2, starting at 20, we had Snoop, Who Am I, What's My Name. 19 was Ice Cube, You Know How We Do It. 18 was Jay-Z, Brooklyn's Finest, was Notorious. 17 was Bone Thugs and Harmony, First of the Month. 16 was Tribe Called Quest, Award Tour. 15 was Fugees, Fuji Law. 14 was The Roots, Concerto of the Desperado. 13 was Nas, The World Is Yours. 12 was Raekwon, Criminology, featuring Ghostface Killah. And 11 was Dr. Dre, Let Me Ride. That rounded out our second 20 and the second pod, which brought us to this, the final 10, which was 10, Missy Elliott, The Rain, Super Duper Fly. 9, Beastie Boys, Intergalactic. 8, Busta Rhymes, Woo-ha, Got You All in Check. 7, De La Soul, Stakes Is High. 6, Outkast, Rosa Parks. 5, Camp Lo, Luchini. 4, Notorious B.I.G., Juicy. 3, Wu-Tang Clan, The Mystery of Chess Boxing. 2, Pete Rock and CL Smooth, They Reminisce Over You, Troy. And 1, Eric B. and Rakim, Don't Sweat the Technique. So that was 30. That was really hard to do. I had so many cuts I didn't want to make. Songs I remembered along the way, some ones that really hurt the heart. One that I was trying to justify. I almost kicked off Missy Elliott, The Rain, Super Duper Fly, but couldn't pull the trigger. One track I haven't mentioned yet was a track I know you don't love, and it actually kind of shaded me to, like, I know he doesn't like the track, so, like, it kind of persuaded me not to make the move. But I do love the track, and that's Souls of Mischief with 93 Till Infinity. I love the track.
It was just played to death.
But
yeah. It was played to death, everyone. It was cool the first time I heard it, but I'm like, they got other tracks. Why are you guys just focusing on this one song? But
great track.
That's radio.
Yeah. It hurts my heart that I didn't find a way to fit that into the 30 to 21 range. I mean, it's locked in stone now, but I probably would have switched out Souls 93 to Infinity. I probably would have taken off Loonies, Got Five on It. That probably would have been the switch, but it's locked in now. That's my 30.
Yep. I think we talked about it on the last one about me doing the 80s one.
Yeah.
I know I could probably do 30, but I don't want to sit there.
Do 10, do 20.
I was just going to do 10. And the 10, I'm going to leave out a ton, but I think that the 10 that I'll pick would be more of from the beginning of it. But I'll try to spread it out within the 10 years of 80s hip hop, but a lot of it was from the beginning. Maybe I'll have to do 20. I don't know. I'll do the first 10 and
see how you feel. Because I only want to do 20 when I started this, and then like I was like, this is impossible. Like I was cutting way too much. Like you saw from in the 30s, we had Too Short and Tupac and E-40 and GZA and Method Man and Naughty by Nature. I was like, oh goodness, how can I really cut all of this? So
I mean, we'll see, everyone. I mean, I'll start off with 10. If I end up doing 20, well, we'll do it. But if not, right now I'm for surely saying you'll get one episode for me will be 80s hip hop, and then that's it. One of my other buddies was like, why are you concentrating on just that? Why don't you do other shit? Like I said, one of the many shows, my music taste is all over the map. So I don't know, but I earlier stages of the Macness hip hop, I did, it wasn't a list, but it was kind of my history of the Bay Area thrash scene. So
yeah,
I might do that. You probably wouldn't know any of those songs, so it might just be a solo show of just me doing all that. Or maybe I can get one of my buddies. He was there.
Yeah.
Or even Eric. He listens to all the stuff that I grew up with.
I'd actually love to hear his perspective. That's a great idea. You should do that.
So yeah, if Eric and I would sit down and do it, I'll come up with the songs, and he can just chime in on what he thinks of them. It's because all the 80s stuff that I listen to, all those bands that he listens to now, he listens to all of them. Some bands are still out there playing, some are, and he introduces me to newer stuff. I don't even think he listens to hip hop at all. He's just full into the thrash and black metal and all that type of stuff. So, but
well, I've already started scouting my 2000s to current list. So I'll work on that. Like I said, first I'd rather do your 80s list, but in the future you can look forward to a 2000s to now list I'll work on.
I don't even think I could fill 10 in that one. So, but
yeah.
All right, everyone. That was our three-part series of the Zsu's 90s hip hop. What do we call it? Study group. Yeah. So, but everyone, thank you so much for listening to all this. And if you have not heard every single one of these tracks, go listen to all of them. I'll have the Zsu sending me all over to them. Because in the show notes for this episode, I'll put the list of all 30 of them in there. So you guys can just go down the list and have at it. Or we'll put it over on the Facebook page. Who knows? We'll see. But either way. But for Spotify, for podcasters, this is it. So we'll be back with more. We got another regular episode on the regular network coming really soon. So just keep your ear out, and shout out to everybody that listens to all of our stuff we have here on Spotify. You guys rule. I know it started off on Anchor and then it switched over to Spotify. So, and I don't know, they keep sending me emails. We're changing up this and changing up that, but it still all seems to be the same. But who knows? We'll see. We're not in charge of all that, but shout out to them because they put our show all over the place on all these different platforms. So whatever platform you're hearing us on, thank you so much. That's this feed. You can go over and search Macness and all that, and then you'll see all the other East Society things. One of my friends was telling me, why don't you just do one? He was saying, why don't you just put all East Society episodes on Spotify and all the regular, my other stuff on the, I'm like, that's too much of a
that's a little bit of work.
it's too late, man. I mean, we could start just putting East Society just here on Spotify to make it easier, I guess, but I don't know. It takes everything away from how I started it all. So
yeah, exactly.
We're going to continue with the way it is. Just go back and forth, listen to both feeds, everyone. But
yeah.
With that being said, everyone, thank you so, so much for listening to all of this and just getting in the Wayback Machine and listening to all these different tracks. I know you guys couldn't hear it, but I had to listen to it to bring refresh my old memory. So, all right. Well, this was fun. We'll come back for more. So until next time, everyone be safe out there and party on.
Yep. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Till next time, have fun, be safe, and we'll see you next time, Beast Society.